Guys, welcome to the podcast today, the video podcast. We're also going to be posting these as audio podcasts later on. It's the David Rydell Show, and I sometimes say the Dave Rydell Show because I answer to either. I'm just like that. My good friend, sometimes I forget my own name. My good friend Zach on the other side is our executive producer, and I cannot say how much hard work he puts into this because I just don't know how much hard work he puts into this. I am at our multi-million dollar studio. It's actually a Quality Inn and Suites here in Moreno Valley,
California. At least you're in a quality studio this time.
Yeah, I'm in a quality studio this time. Moreno Valley, beautiful, beautiful town here. Drove across the, I guess it's a city. Town, whatever it is, just beautiful palm trees everywhere. Beautiful day today. I was undecking some trucks today, actually in Fullerton, California. I decked two, then I brought one up here. Zach, you're not going to believe this. I have one truck which has all of my luggage and all of my tools and stuff in it. So I pull up beside another guy who is actually undecking a set of trucks, and we stood there and talked about 10 minutes, and so I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to get all my stuff out of my truck. The guy that was going to check us in was at lunch. And I thought, well, I'm just going to get all of my stuff out of my truck and have it ready to go whenever he comes to check me in. So pull my suitcase out, pull my tool. I got a big tool case, weighs about 60 pounds. Then my backpack. And then I got a small tool pouch that I put my sockets and some other, you know, smaller items in. And I have them sitting in between our two trucks. He had just undecked the truck. And so anyway, when the guy comes and checks me in, he asked me to pull my truck to the other side of the little lane that we were sitting in. And I said, no, it's no problem, you know. So I get out and I back up so that I can pull where he told me to pull. And just when I get backed up to where I'm going to start cutting left and park where he told me to, the other guy gets in his truck and I see his wheels cut to the left and I'm seeing my bag sit there and I'm like, oh no, 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 no. So I start blowing my horn, doing everything I can to get this guy's attention. He didn't even check up, Zach. He just tears off, runs over every piece of luggage that I have sitting there. I mean, his truck bounced. I mean, my suitcase and all this stuff, they're about 2 foot tall. I mean, he runs slam over them. I get out of the truck. He pulls away. I mean, he's gone, right? I get out of the truck, and I got a $600 unit that is my GPS unit. Just have bought it like 4 months ago. And I check it. It's good. I'm like, whew. But I look over at my suitcase. It is literally smashed into the ground. All of my clothes, all of that stuff. The wheels are splayed out. I mean, it is totally ruined. So I had to go to Walmart and buy me another bag. So,
so what you're saying is your underwear had a whole new kind of streak in it.
Yeah. It looks like a big truck skid mark.
Now, what's your mama going to say when she has to clean that?
I've already done my laundry. I just done my laundry. You are not right, my friend. You are not right. Anyway, like I was saying, welcome to the David Rydell Show. My great friend, Zach. So glad to have him, the executive producer of this. And he's doing a lot of hard work trying to get this show. You're not right, Zach. You're not right. But anyway, we're brought to you today by Krispy Kreme Donuts. No, Zach, they're not our official sponsor. I'm just craving Krispy Kreme Donuts today.
I was just wondering where my Krispy Kreme Donuts were.
Whew, man, Krispy Kreme Donuts, if you've never had them, wait till the hot now sign is on. If the hot now sign is on and you pass it up, you are not a good Christian, my friend. Hmm. Just saying. So listen.
Well, we have an issue then.
Uh-huh.
This may be our last show because I may have to go get saved.
you don't
I'm not a big fan of them.
No kidding.
No, that's sad, but they're like too sweet for me.
That's impossible. Nothing can be too sweet. It's like women. You know, no woman can be too sweet. I'm just saying, man, it's impossible. I mean, if I could find a woman that was the same as a Krispy Kreme donut...
Yeah, well, I'm married, so I'm going to stay quiet on this one.
Yeah, okay. I don't blame you. I want you to stay married, Zach. You got a good wife, man. I'm telling you. You that don't know Zach, let me tell you something. Zach is one of the finest young men I know. Got a great Christian home. Works in his church. Just a great young man. He's got so much talent. I wish I had what was in his little finger, the talent he's got in his little finger, just in myself.
Right.
But
right now, there's a piece of lint.
I wish he'd get a sense of humor. That's the only thing I wish he'd get. It's the only thing I find lacking in him. Anyway.
And I don't like Krispy Kreme.
And you don't, yeah. I cannot believe you don't like Krispy Kreme. Really?
Come to Fort Worth and we'll try it again sometime.
I tell you what, give your donut to your wife. Let her lick all the icing off of it. Maybe then you can handle it. I mean, I would offer to lick the icing off, but that'd be kind of gross. But anyway,
yeah, that might
man,
be.
There is nothing too sweet for me. I've never found anything, which is I know it's probably the reason that I weigh what I weigh. But anyway,
I'll say, have you had the tea in Texas?
The tea, oh, I love sweet tea in Texas. Oh, yeah. They know how to make sweet tea in Texas. Yeah.
No. We mix syrup in Texas. I always thought my family's tea was too sweet until I moved it. Like, I mean, not like too sweet, but I was like, man, if I keep drinking this, I'm going to have diabetes like at the age of two. But then I moved to Texas and it's like, seriously, I have to fill it up like that much with unsweet tea and then fill it up that much with sweet tea to get it to taste good.
We're just going to work on you, Zach. That's all I can say. It's
I don't know, man.
Really going to have to work on you. I mean,
I need some prayer, or I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, let's go with that. Zach and his family also do a live show on their web or their Facebook pages every Monday night. Is it, Zach?
Yes, I would think. Monday night. Really, whenever my wife says, "Come here, we're doing this."
Okay, but go over to Zach's Facebook page and watch some of their other ones, and then have them tag it where you can get the notifications when they're live on the air. Zach Stone is his name on Facebook. It's his name in real life too. So anyway, that's handy that it's like that. But anyway, Krispy Kremes. If you haven't had a Krispy Kreme lately, I encourage you, go out and get one. And when you do, think of me. All right. Zach, what I was wanting to talk about today is, this is something I've been dwelling on for a long time, and it's becoming a prevalent problem in our country today. I don't think maybe since the Civil War and a few years after that, we have been this divided as a nation. And back then, they were divided over a single issue or maybe four or five issues, but just, you know, it mostly revolved around just a few items. Today, we've become a society, and I don't know if social media is the reason for this. I have no idea what the reason is for it, but I know the problem is this. We are a multi-fractured nation. We're divided, Republican against Democrat, Democrat against Libertarians, and vice versa. And it's getting out of hand. It's not even just about politics anymore. I mean, it's Apple users against Android users. I mean, who cares? I mean, who really cares what kind of phone you choose? I mean, whatever's in your budget or whatever you're comfortable with, then use it. Who cares? I mean, but we've become a nation that just loves to be disagreeable. And not only just this, I mean, Zach, if you and I sit down, and I'm sure if we sit down very long and talk even about religion, and we come from the same background in as far as our religions are concerned, but if we sit down and talk very long at all, we're going to find things that we differ on or things that we disagree on. And you know what? That's fine. There is nothing wrong with having a disagreement. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not going to join up with just anything. There are some things in this world that I just cannot be a part of because of who I am and what I believe and where I stand. Some of my principles just won't let me unite with just everything. But over really non-issues, we've got to stop this bickering and fighting, because here's the deal. And I'll be honest, I think some of this is actually intentional. I think there are some people in our country today leaders in our country today that are trying to get us to be divided, because it weakens us. Anything that is divided weakens. If you know, the Bible talks about a three-cord strand cannot be broken. You know, if you break them down into three individual cords, then it's a little easier to break. And if we don't stop all of this division, if we don't stop all of this bickering, and if the thing about it is the level of animosity and anger that arises because some of these divisions is just, if it wasn't so serious, it'd be comical. Now, I understand that, like I said, there are some things that I'm passionate about. There are some things that I'm willing to stand toe-to-toe with you on and debate with you in a gentlemanly way. And here's the deal, is everybody wants to win the argument. Look, a marriage where both people in the marriage, rather, I should say, want to win every argument, that marriage is not going to last very long, because a house divided cannot stand. It shall not stand. It will not stand. And the same thing, I mean, our nation, there have been quotes of a nation divided. You know, united we stand, divided we fall. There are things more important than these trivial issues that we're arguing and what's dividing us. Look, I don't have to agree with you. I don't have to agree with you to be kind to you. I don't have to agree with you to be cordial with you. And just because I disagree with you about something does not make you my enemy. It just makes us disagreeable on this issue. And if we don't I was having a debate on TikTok not long ago about, and I post some Christian things on TikTok. And every time I do, some of the atheists that are following me, I mean, they like my humor, but they don't like my religious post. But every time I do that, one of them will come on there and say something. And I made a post about until we become one nation under God. And this guy going on, he said, "Whose God are you talking about?" And I said, "Well, I'm talking about my God, the God of the Bible." And he says, "Well, all of us don't recognize your God." And I said, "That's fine." And he said, "Well, you're trying to shove your God down my throat." And I said, "No, absolutely not." You know, and we went on in a long debate. And finally, when it come down to the end of it, I says, "Look, if we can find the things that we agree on and stand together on those things," because he was like-minded with me in everything except for religion. Now, he's an atheist. All right. I'm obviously not an atheist. I don't hate that guy. I don't hate him at all. As a matter of fact, I love him, and I would like for him to know my God. But if I come against him with anger and retort against his comments in a non-biblical way, then I will never win him. I will never see him. I'll never be able to introduce him to my God that has helped me in my life. And we oftentimes do great harm by trying to win the argument. I don't care about winning the argument. What are my opinions? I've got lots of opinions, but you know what? There's been things I used to think was right that I found out later wasn't. And, so my opinions are very, very frail. My mind is very frail. My understanding is very frail. And God has opened my eyes on a lot of things. And I'm not talking about some new light or something like that, but I'm just talking about just in normal life experiences. God has opened my eyes in some things that I used to, you know, think differently about. I still, you know, the basic tenets of life and what's right and what's wrong always going to stay the same. You know, there has to be a moral absolute. And but at the same time, you've got to be willing to address the fact that I'm fallible, and what I think may be right may not be right at all. I remember we've heard, and this is something that goes back to mine and Zach's history, and I'm sure he's probably heard this as well. But I remember for years, I mean, growing up as a kid in our churches, they would get up in testimony service, and they would talk about the Spirit flowing from breast to breast. And I started preaching, and I actually used that phrase. And somebody very kindly, you know, and I'm glad they were kind, because at that point in my life, I was kind of fragile as a young preacher. And they got up and said, you know, the Bible doesn't say that. And I'm like, yes, it does. And they're like, no, the Bible doesn't say that. And I'm like, I know it does, because I've heard these people testify about it all my life. And I searched. Back then, we didn't have the computer Bibles and all that kind of stuff that we have today. I got the old Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, and I got it down, and I started looking everywhere, every way I could phrase that sentence. I'm like, I couldn't find it. I always studied laying on the floor on my belly, and I thought, Strong's is wrong. Like, no, Strong's is not wrong. You're wrong. Accept it. You know, so there's things like that that we don't even realize that are wrong, and then all of a sudden we begin to have a different understanding about it. And so, you know, be humble about what you know. It's the thing I love about atheism, and the thing that I don't understand about atheism is people say there is no God. Well, that's very high and mighty of you, because at that moment in time, when you say there is no God, what you're essentially saying is, I know everything. You're not even leaving the possibility that you could be wrong about that. And so it's, you know, it's same token. I firmly believe there is a God. Can you prove it? Only through the scripture and only through my experience. I know that when I was a mess, when I was a total mess, and I told Zach that we weren't going to get into a lot of religion on this, but last episode he said, you can't even help it. And I can't. I cannot help it. I know that just a little bit of my testimony. Before I got saved in 1991, I'd been raised in church all my life and had gotten out of church and was just extremely rebellious against God, very angry about some things. And I took it out on God, and actually I took it out on myself. But I got so bitter. I started working at a prison in Indiana. And I got so bitter and so angry and was so full of hatred and so full of anger that Kayla was born in 1991. In May, and I didn't get saved until December. And so when I was so full of anger and so full of hatred and so full of just all this vile stuff inside of me, that when Kayla was just an infant, her mom would hand her to me, and I wanted to hold my child, but every time, she's a very sensitive person, even today she is, and she's very sensitive even as a little girl. She felt that, Zach, and she would begin to cry, and I'd have to give her back to her mom or to her grandmother. And it just tore me all to pieces. I was wanting to hold my newborn baby girl. And man, that was so hard. And mom said that when she came to my house, when she pulled up into the driveway, she could feel that. Mom's a great godly lady. And she said, I could feel that spiritual bondage around your house. When I pulled in your driveway, I could feel it. And what was such a blessing was the first time mom came back after I'd give my life to God, she said that feeling, all of that was all gone, you know, and I was, obviously I could hold my baby girl, and now, man, she's 28 years old, but she's my baby girl still today. Love her to death, and she loves me, and if I could get everybody to love me like Kayla loves me, I'd be all right, but, you know, that's my proof. I said all of that to tell you, that's my proof that there is a God, because it happened instantaneously, Zach. It wasn't some long, drawn-out process. And I have digressed completely away from what I was originally talking about. We've got to learn how to talk to each other in a compassionate and caring way, And we got to realize that everybody doesn't agree with us, and it doesn't make them bad people because they don't agree with us. It just makes them people. And instead of trying to win the argument, how about trying to win the friend? How about trying to win the fellowship with that person? Will they come around to your way of thinking? Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. But at least make the effort to try to remain a positive force instead of a negative force. And I'm not all into this new age nonsense about, you know, think good thoughts, good things. No, this is life. Life's going to hand you a lot of, I don't care how good you are, how positive you think, life's going to give you some trouble. But you got to roll with it. You got to roll with it. And instead of being angry and bitter, and I love this about, here I go back to religion. I love this about how people, you know, they get mad at God because something bad happened in their life or because something bad happened to somebody they love. And they're like, oh, if there's a God, then why does he let this and that happen? You know, you're blaming the wrong person. See, God didn't create this earth to be like it is now. He created this earth to be perfect. He created this earth to be wonderful. And we messed that up. So now we're having to live with the consequences of man's actions years ago. And so that's what we got to do. But anyway, let's try to be kind to each other. Let's try to be considerate of each other. And when you get on Facebook or Twitter or whatever the case may be, instead of trying to win the argument, how about try to win the friend? How about trying to be a voice of reason instead of a voice of anger? How about trying to be a voice of compassion instead of a voice of hatred? I've got friends that are gay. I've got friends that are Democrats. I've got friends that have, you know, a lot of different viewpoints than I do. And I'm gonna tell you something. I don't weigh by messing with them. I've got cousins that are gay, and I don't agree with that lifestyle. I can't condone that lifestyle because of what the Bible says about it. But I don't want anybody mistreating them. And if I hear about it, I'm going to be upset about it. And because I love them. And so whenever you're coming against somebody and railing on them in an angry way, and I've done this, I mean, I got caught up in the mix as well. And there, I mean, I've had some experiences on here on Facebook. One of my little friends, Shelby, goes to church with us. I mean, I literally told her mom, I said, I will take her and raise her for you. I mean, Shelby, when she was just a young girl, she and I have been such great friends. I love her to death. And some guy got on Facebook and was messing with her. I mean, just bad mouthing her awful. And I was in my truck at the time, and I just woke up and seen it. And I railed against him pretty hard. And I think it kind of scared him a little bit. But, you know, the thing about it is I've lost any kind of influence I may have over him when it comes to God because of I let my passion override my good thinking, and so I actually hurt myself with any kind of influence I may have over him as far as being a Christian. And I pray that God will use somebody else to bring him to the Lord. But as far as what I can do, I've ruined that, and that's what happens when we let our anger get the best of us. Zach, I've rambled on here for long enough. Any thoughts you may have on this subject? Have you ever argued with anybody on Facebook? You don't seem like a real argumentative person. You're pretty laid back. I'm not laid back. I don't know if you guys know that or not, but I'm not laid back.
No, I pretty much avoid arguments, really. Or at least on Facebook. I mean, trust me, I have a little bit of a temper, but it normally doesn't come out towards that person.
Yeah.
I gripe to my wife about you after the show.
And she's going to take up for me. I just know that.
In all seriousness, though, it's usually, I think, better for me if I don't let my temper out, because the guys in my family have a history of a bad temper. So I think it's better for me, like if I complain to my wife about what the situation or whatever, rather than actually let it out on that person. Because trust me, there's a lot that makes me mad. And it's like, it's better if I just don't talk to you rather than, you know, I mean, if I'm truly angry, you know, and it, and it normally takes quite a bit to actually make me mad.
Yeah.
You know, I may just, I can get annoyed, but to actually be mad enough to, you know, want to actually say something, you've got to pretty much push me way past my limit.
Well, what we've discovered today is that, that Zach's a much better Christian than I am.
Except for I don't like Krispy Kreme, so I can't be that good.
You're not that great. Yeah, that's right. That's manna from heaven, man. You just don't know what you're missing. We've got to learn to control ourselves, you know, and that's something that's our responsibility. You know, there are things that God helps us with, and the Bible talks about that God will sanctify you, but then it says also that we should sanctify ourselves, you know, and that's our responsibility. There's some things that are our responsibility. Never been, I mean, I used to get on Facebook and I would debate with people left and right. And, I've had people block me and that, you know, that's a bad feeling, you know, especially somebody that you care about. And don't get me wrong, I've had to block some other people. Now, let me explain something else here. I was going to say this too, and I almost forgot it. God's not into division. He's really not. He hates division, but he is into separation. You know, if there's a cancer in my body, I want my doctor to separate that from me as quickly as he can, as efficiently as he can. All right, because it's something that's actually doing me harm, and God will separate us from things that are. He will try to separate us from things that are doing us harm. He tries every day to separate us from things that is actually harming us, and we just don't listen to him like we should. But here's the deal. If there's something in your life that's literally tearing your life apart, then, you know, it needs to be separated from your life. It's toxic, and it will destroy you. Eventually, it will destroy you. But that's not an iPhone. and that's not, you know, there are some things that we've got to stand for. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to say that we're just going to be pushovers or we're just going to be patsies and just let the Democrats have their way. No, that's not what I'm saying. My Democrat friends are going, I'm a Democrat. No, it's not what I'm saying. Don't get so mad about that. But I'm talking about the socialist side of the Democrat Party now, or the progressive side of the Republican Party. I'm getting sick and tired of both of them. But we can't, you know, we're not going to have a country if we just let everything in. But let's pick and choose what is important to get passionate about. Is what I'm trying to say. Everything is not worth my passion, and I'm going to be exhausted if I argue about every little thing that comes along. There's times I have to take a break from my news sources because it's just one thing after another, and that's when I turn to other things. There was about 2 months there I took in absolutely no news. My brother would ask me, have you heard about that? Like, no, I don't know anything about it. I've not even been there.
Real quick, going back to what you were saying about people getting offended and everything, like on Facebook or TikTok or whatever. I don't know where in this country we got to this point of, it's like, you offended me, you're wrong. When it's like, okay, you know, like my thing is, you know, if someone will say, did you see, you know, so-and-so posted this on Facebook? And I'm just like, so? It's their Facebook page. If I don't like what you put on your Facebook page, I don't have to go to your Facebook page.
Right.
You know, or TikTok. If I don't like what you put on TikTok, I don't have to go there. So it's like, why are you getting so offended at what I put on my page? Like you can, or like people arguing on Facebook, like, I can't believe blah, 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 blah. And it's like, you don't have to read this. Why do you feel the need to respond to everything I post? If you don't agree with it, you don't have to say anything. You can just say, hey, well, he's crazy. I'm not going back to his page again.
Right. Right. That's, you know, if I get a bunch of bananas, and I love bananas, by the way, but if I get a bunch of bananas and I open one up and it's rotten inside, or it's, you know, mushy inside, guess what? I don't even think a thing about it. I just like, wow, I hate to spend money on that, and then throw it in the trash because it's not the end of the world. You know what I'm saying? So I come across stuff on Facebook. I come across stuff on TikTok or wherever else you may get your social media. Scroll on. It's just not worth your time. It's not worth your effort. It's not worth the pain that you're putting yourself through. A lot of times we put ourselves in more pain than what we should. But yeah, just before you type that response or before you say something to someone, you know, like today, that guy ran over my bag, and I could have chased him down. You know, I could have said, "Hey, you owe me a bag," you know. But he was having a bad day already. I could tell it. And I could have made it a bad day for me as well. But I was thinking, you know, I needed a bigger bag anyway. So I went to Walmart, had my Uber driver take me to Walmart, got me a new bag. And I posted, our family's got a group message that we all message each other through. I put a video of my bag all smashed up, and it was hilarious, man. It turned out to be so funny. They were really, really messing with me about that. Not quite as bad as Zach did, but
I mean, I'm just thinking, you're in California. You probably pay like $100 more than the bag is worth.
No, I went to Walmart. It's comparable prices even out here. So I don't know what the tax rate was, but
yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's like taxes on plastic, taxes on the claw, taxes on the guy handing it to you. The guy, I mean.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, everybody's got to care. Oh, something else. There's a Thai restaurant next to the motel. I went over here and got something to eat this afternoon, and I found out that if you ask for a plastic straw, they can give it to you.
Really?
In California, yeah. It's right on the wall. It says, if you know, it says Governor so and so, whatever his name is, Comrade so and so, you know, has outlawed such and such straws, but if you ask for one, we will give you one. So I was like, hey, can I get a plastic straw? I got a plastic straw in California, and I will get one from now on.
You need to make a plaque out of it or something.
I'm telling you, I sit there and just enjoy it. I was like, when I first sat down, I thought, I'm going to get a paper straw. And then I seen that, and I'm like, hey, I want a plastic straw. Actually, I'd like to try a paper straw, because that takes us back to when you don't even remember paper straws, but I do in school. That would take me back to some memories there, but this time I went with a
paper. You know, talking about memories, you were talking about how we've not been this divided since the Civil War. And I thought of another time we were divided. Now, this was before my time, but you would probably remember this. You know,
I have a feeling this is going to get me here somewhere.
No. This is, I think it's historical. I read it in an article or something. Trying to remember, what was this guy's name? Some Nimrod got a group of people together, and he wanted to build like a building or tower or something to the sky, and God divided the people. And I mean, I know you were there. You may have been the Nimrod who came up with the idea. I don't know. But I was just thinking of how divided we were then. And I was just wondering if you could tell us a little bit more about that time when, you know, firsthand experience.
That's where I learned how to talk hillbilly, right there. That's where I learned it. You know what? No one's understood me since. You know, I was in South. Here's a story, all right? Here's another trucking story. I was in Boston. This has been about 4 years ago. And everywhere I was going up there, especially in the Northeast, they're all like, "Where are you from? Where are you from?" I'm saying, "I'm from Ohio." "Really? Ohio?" I'm like, "Yeah, we figure you're further south than that." "No, I was raised by hillbillies." But so anyway, I was like, I had this in my mind. The next person asked me, I already had it planned out. So I went to this receiver, and the lady behind the desk says, "Where are you from?" I said, and it was Boston. I said, "I'm from Boston." She goes, "Boston?" I said, "Well, South Boston." She said, "It must be really deep South Boston." So yeah, that's where hillbilly came from, and all the rest of the languages, obviously, too. But Zach, I will get you for that. But anyway, I want to leave you tonight with a little inspirational story. This is one I just learned about, and it just blew my mind. Back in 1776, the British had they had the battle at Lexington and Concord. They were heading back up to New York, and on the way back up, they were actually destroying American homes and killing people and burning the houses and things like that. There was an 80-year-old man. His name was Samuel Whitmore. He had fought in the French and Indian Wars. He had fought for the King's Army. He was a great warrior in his day. 80 years old. Now, that's extremely old at that time. And he had, in the field of battle, he had actually procured two pistols, dueling pistols, they said, from a Native American that they had been fighting with. He'd also gotten hold of a ceremonial sword, a very beautiful sword. So anyway, when he heard that the British were marching back from Lexington Concord, he decided that, no, they're not taking my home. They're not doing this to me. So this 80-year-old man, now that they talk about, these are the people that won us our freedom from Great Britain and let us become the nation that we have become. He goes out, he loads up both his pistols, sticks them in his belt, straps on his sword, and loads his rifle, goes out. And he's waiting on the British Army that's coming back up. Well, actually, it was a relief unit that was coming down from New York to try to aid in their retreat. And when they start coming towards his house, he steps out in the road, raises his rifle, takes one of them out, pulls out both his pistols, takes out another one, wounds another one. Well, by this time, they're on him. And he pulls his sword and starts to fight him with the sword. They shot him in the face, Zach. I mean, shot him square in the face. When he goes down, they bayoneted him 13 times, then took the butts of the rifles and literally caved his skull in. His neighbors had heard the shooting, and when they came to see what was going on and to try to help him, this 80-year-old man, they thought he was dead. They left him for dead. He was struggling to reload his rifle so he could shoot at them as they retreated from his house. He lived another 18 years. He died at 98 years old. And there's a plaque there in Massachusetts today that honors him. This kind of spirit, this kind of dedication. I had a young man one time. He was wanting to fight the American government. He's one of the young guys that just thought that violence was the answer to everything, I think. And good kid, just a little misguided in this area. He said, "When are we going to fight, Dave? When are we going to fight?" I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "When are we going to actually take up arms and fight our government?" And I'm like, I was stunned. I looked at him and said, "Brother, don't you think we should at least get people passionate enough to vote first?" I mean, before we take up arms, can we all just at least go to the ballot box and try to fix this thing? We're going to lose our nation if we don't turn out. And there, God help us if we ever have to go to war with our own government. It's kind of like, I look at that like some people are like, when's God going to stop all this mess that's going on? When's God going to, when's God going to take care of this mess? Well, he's going to, trust me. And if you're here, you're not going to like it. You're not going to like it at all when he does. Trust me. So I implore you, get out and vote. Don't just vote in the national elections. Vote in your local elections as well. If you're in the Middletown, Ohio area, Candace Keller is our state representative there locally, and she's she is amazing. I want to support her in every way that I can. If you're in that Middletown area, man, and you don't vote for Candace Keller, there's something wrong with you. She is doing good. But
how do I vote for her? Can I just vote? Like if I stop in for a visit, can I just?
Well, yeah, just swing on by Ohio and I'll find you a driver's license or something. I mean,
no way. That's how Democrats do it.
Yeah. Vote early, vote often. But anyway, Zach, it's been fun. We appreciate you so much, Zach, for what you're doing here and giving me an opportunity to do this. I wouldn't have done this if you hadn't been willing to help me do it. I don't feel like I'm even qualified to do this. I'm just rambling here. And but for you that are watching, thank you so much for watching the David Rydell's show. And my good friend, who I know you're watching, Doug, I wasn't going to mention your name, but I'm going to go ahead and put it out there. Doug Engel, he's watching. His idea for the name of the show was the Zach and Methuselah show. I don't think he meant that kindly, Zach. I don't know. But I'm still going to be his friend because I have just spoken about not being divided so much. So anyway, thank you so much for watching. Like our show, go ahead and click that like button and then share it. He's like, I don't want to share it to my page. Come on, man, do it. Share it to your page. Tell your friends about it. And don't go on Messenger and share it with all the friends. I hate when people do that. Just share it on your page and let your friends have a chance to watch it. Make some comments down below. Tell Zach how great a job he's doing and tell me how handsome I am. All right. Hey, love you, Zach. Thank you for what you do, man. Love you all out there. Thank you for watching the Dave Riddell Show. Come back and join us next week.